Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio. Conscious of the context of life and destination of the new creature. Chapter 4. The firm conviction of understanding of the simplicity in Christ to grow in other convictions. 2 Corinthians 11, 2-3. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. When the subject of a Christian having a firm conscience about one's life in the Lord is brought up, in the sense that a Christian has strong convictions in one's heart about one's life in God, some people soon put themselves in opposition to this possibility, under the allegations and thoughts that the Christian life is too complex for a person to be able to aim at having firmly established convictions. Nevertheless, declaring that it is complex for a Christian to live the Christian life is to enter a path that contradicts what the Scriptures teach when declaring that there is a simplicity for the life in Christ Jesus to be lived by a Christian. On the other hand, the same Scriptures declare that God did great and wonderful acts so that a person could come into existence, and God did even greater works so that a person can achieve the new birth and new creature status in Christ. The prophets and psalmists clearly declared that the works and acts of God are inscrutable and that his thoughts are higher than the thoughts of human beings, as well as his intentions are higher than the intents of people. Isaiah 55, 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Consequently, on the one hand, we have statements in the Scriptures that life and what sustains it are vastly complex, to the point where they cannot even be thoroughly scrutinized and understood by human beings, and, on the other hand, we have the statement that the life of a Christian is according to the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if we understand that the complexity of life in general and also of the Christian life can be a distinct aspect of what a Christian is instructed to live one's life in Christ, we can observe, also in the Scriptures, that something very complex may coexist with the simplicity that is assigned to another aspect. When the Scriptures teach us that there is a simplicity for the Christian to live and walk in Christ Jesus, they are not necessarily saying that the work of God to sustain the Christian's life in its most varied aspects is something simple to accomplish. Life in general, as well as the Christian life, to be made available and sustained, encompass countless and endless complexities. However, a person does not necessarily need to know all these complexities and manage all of them in their broadest sense to experience life in the Lord. Thus, although the Christian life depends on highly complex, complete, and perfect foundations in God, a Christian is not called to sustain these foundations or understand all aspects of them to actually begin one's new condition as a new creation in Christ Jesus. If a person starts looking at the complexity of what supports the proposition of the gospel of God and life in the Lord, and thinks that one would depend on understanding all these aspects to living the Christian life, one could never even imagine experiencing the novelty of life in the Lord. Nevertheless, the essence of the Christian's practice of the Christian life is the opposite of complexity. Although the Christian life is structured on a foundation that is even inscrutable and indescribable in human terms, the Christian's living and walking in the Christian life is offered to him or her based on a principle of great simplicity. In his sovereign wisdom, God ordered or structured all the complexity of the universe so that the Christian life could be based on very simple principles, so simple that the simplest people can live it, and so simple that it is often even easier to be lived by the simple. In this way, the experience of the Christian life or living and walking in Christ, on the part of the Christian, revolves around the practice of a very simple central principle, exposed below directly by the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Matthew 11:27-29. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The calling for a person to live and walk in the Christian life is offered to Christians according to a very simple principle, for it is offered to be lived in God or in the one for whom nothing is too complex. Life in general of people in the world shows itself to be very varied and complex, but not before the Lord who created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. The Lord knows everything and reigns according to the counsel of His will over everyone and everything. Similar to the previous paragraph, the Christian life and the diversity of aspects that there are in it can also appear to be complex to human beings, but, again, they are not complex to the Lord. If, however, someone wants or tries to live and walk in the Christian life dissociated from the simplicity that is in it for it to be lived in God and wants to introduce complex aspects that God has not established for it, this individual will face an impossible condition to be fulfilled no matter how much effort, time, or resources one tries to devote to doing so. Given this, we can see that the simplicity that there is to live the life offered to the new creature in God is in the Christian being invited to live it in Christ Jesus and that, starting from this condition, the Lord promises to make provision for all the other needs so that this newness of life according to His will can be achieved, no matter the degree of complexity of the circumstances so that the will of the Lord becomes firmly established in the life of the one who trusts in the Lord and abides in Him. The principle of simplicity of a Christian remaining in Christ and from Christ receiving the newness of life according to the will of God, just as the branch receives life from the vine on which it remains, is so simple and so possible to be done by everyone and everywhere that it even becomes the target of mistrust by many. Although sustaining life in general and the life of a Christian requires countless aspects of extreme breadth, grandeur, and complexity, what falls specifically to the Christian to do to be instructed and strengthened by the Lord for life as a new creature is primarily or foremost to remain in Christ and Christ in Him. The mystery kept for centuries, the mystery that none of the wise men of the earth could unravel, the mystery that God revealed in Christ Jesus to humanity, is the mystery about how it is simple and possible for every Christian to be able to live and walk in God through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:26-29. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working which works in me mightily. Thus, the simplicity of the Christian life is Christ in the heart of everyone who believes in Him and voluntarily receives Him as the Lord also to be instructed or guided by the Lord in the most diverse areas of one's life. For a person to receive Christ in the heart, it is not necessary, or it is not required, money, material resources, temples, special places, religious leaders, human sacrifices, circumcision, becoming a member of lists of human religious institutions, doing works, or having expressive vigor to carry out works. For a person to receive Christ in the heart, only the willingness to open the heart to receive Christ as Lord for fellowship and to be instructed by the Lord in the growth of the newness of life as a new creature in God is needed. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. John 1, 12-13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Therefore, if Christians would open their hearts to be more widely aware of how simple the Lord has made access to him for people to experience the Christian life in Christ Jesus, and would no longer stray from this simplicity, the so frustrating and exhausting continuous or recurrent search in so many vain teachings, books, and preachings could finally be ended. If Christians became aware of how simple the Lord has made access to him so that each one of them could experience the Christian life in Christ Jesus, and would not leave this simplicity anymore, it would only be necessary to live this revelation given to them by the Heavenly Father, and so, from Christ, they would receive everything they need for the life of the new creature and true godliness before the Lord. Peter, an apostle of Christ, also affirms the same condition of simplicity in his second epistle, as shown below. 2 Peter 1:1-3. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. In another letter, also Paul reaffirms that the purpose of God is to converge everything to Christ, that is, that all may be in Christ so that Christ may be in all, as follows. Ephesians 1:7-10. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. We recall here once again that the fact that the practice of the Christian life is offered by God so that every Christian can live and walk in it according to the simplicity of the principle of abiding in Christ Jesus does not mean that the mystery and the way to provide this condition were simple to set up. On the contrary, in another text, Paul declares that great is this mystery, as follows below. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Without controversy, great is the mystery that allows the new creature to live, through a path of simplicity, the new life in Christ Jesus. And why, then, is the simplicity of living and walking in Christ Jesus enough for a Christian to experience life according to the new creature? The simplicity of living and walking in Christ Jesus is enough for the Christian because in Christ Jesus dwells all the divinity of God, who is the creator of heaven and earth and all that is in them. If a person is in Christ, one has, in the condition of being in Christ and Christ in him or her, everything one needs to live and walk in life according to the will of the Heavenly Father, as also exemplified in the following three texts. Colossians 2:2-3. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hebrews 1:1-4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And since living and walking in Christ and Christ in us is the simplicity of the broad and inscrutable life in God, what is lacking, then, for Christians to start practicing the simplicity that is already available to all of them in the Lord Jesus? Let us look at the text mentioned above again below, which may help us answer this last question. Colossians 2:1-3. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ or the life of continual fellowship with the Lord, all that is necessary for the Christian regarding one's past, present, and future are already provided. But asking once more, what is missing, then, for Christians to more abundantly experience the novelty of life of the new creature offered to them in the Lord? One of the main aspects of the answer to the previous question is, the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Numerous Christians who lack a more intense living and walking in the newness of life available to them in the Lord do so not because they have not yet heard that every Christian should abide in Christ as the branch abides in the vine, but because many still have not let themselves be convinced by the Spirit of the Lord about the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Many Christians know intellectually that they should abide in Christ but lack conviction about this fact. And for this reason, they do not practice the simplicity that there is in Christ Jesus, surrendering to the most absurd practices to try to live the Christian life, trying to complicate what is simple and which does not accept being made complicated. Yet other ways of expressing the above would be to say that 1. It is essential for Christians to have a firm assurance of understanding that from trust in God and from a relationship with Him will come everything the new creature needs to live and walk in the novelty of life. 2. It is vital for Christians to have a firm conviction of understanding that leads them to actually practice abiding in Christ, to the point of waiting for instructions to be given from their relationship with the Lord that, in due time, will produce the fruits of life according to the condition of the new creature that they became in Christ Jesus. 3. Crucial for Christians is the firm assurance of understanding that leads them to leave the practice of doing works without first having done the initial work of all other works, which is to trust in Christ, abide in Him continually, and follow what He instructs them to do. John 6:29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. Unfortunately, various teachings of contemporary centuries on faith have replaced the trust of believing in God and depending on the one in whom one trusts with the type of belief that is satisfied with the information of knowing that something exists or believing that something exists. Nevertheless, believing from the perspective of faith is associated with active trust in God and not a mere agreement that something exists, as also shown by the comments associated in the online Bible with Strong's lexicon on the word faith, as follows. Faith, among others, means 1. To think it is true, to be persuaded of, to believe, to place confidence in. 2. Trusting Jesus or God as able to help, either to obtain or to do something, saving faith. 3. Entrust something to someone, that is, their faithfulness. 4. Conviction of the truth of anything, belief, in the New Testament of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it. 5. The conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. 6. Belief with the predominate idea of trust, or confidence, whether in God or in Christ, springing from faith in the same. 7. The character of one who can be relied on. Thus, when the scriptures declare that the just shall live by one's faith, they are pointing to the fact that the just shall live by the trust one places in God, and not by the mere fact of agreeing with the idea that God exists. Romans 1, 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The act, action, or posture of believing that demons practice is a belief in the existence of God, but not a faith of trust and surrender to God. Demons believe that God exists, but they still resist the Lord. James 2, 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe, and tremble. Therefore, a Christian obviously needs to believe that God exists, but one is also called to take the next step related to faith, which is to believe in God in the sense of putting one's life's trust in Him so that the Lord may guide him or her in all of his ways. The belief that puts trust in Christ is a faith that effectively leads the person who believes in the Lord to establish a close relationship with God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God. Galatians 3, 26-29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. The true faith, the Christian faith according to the simplicity that there is in Christ Jesus, is the faith that leads a person to believe and receive Christ Jesus as Lord of one's life. That is, it is the faith that trusts in Christ Jesus to the point of desiring and receiving Him as the new guide, master, and king of one's own personal life. It is the faith that believes in the words spoken by Christ and does not look for other leaders to be able to live and walk in life according to God's will. Matthew 23, 8-10. But you, do not be called rabbi, or guides, masters, leaders, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, or guides, masters, leaders, for one is your teacher, the Christ. What, then, is the simplicity that God asks a person to be saved with heavenly salvation and remain saved in this salvation? For an individual to be saved and remain saved, God instructs people to personally entrust their lives to His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the author and finisher of the very faith in God and also of all other areas of the life of faith in God of a saved person. Faith in Christ, including the trust of depositing one's personal life in Christ, is the means by which a person can receive justification before God granted by the Lord's grace and which opens to him or her the condition of being a righteous person who lives through faith in God. Galatians 2, 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. The life provision for all people to live life in God according to the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus is already available to all human beings, it was made once and for all, and is eternal, But the Lord also waits for people to accept this life according to the simplicity in which it is offered to be received and lived. Hebrews 10:10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. What, then, do Christians lack to live more intensely the life that is already available to them in Christ Jesus? If we look again at the text of Galatians 2 above and pay attention to the expression "knowing that," we see that in this text, too, Paul reiterates once again the point of firm conviction. Thus, if there is something that Christians lack to live and walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus, this does not occur because God does not want to grant them what they need, but rather because they often do not open their hearts before the Lord that He might strengthen them in all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Again, at this point, we return once more to the theme of the previous chapter and to the core that is found in each of the themes of this same series on the new creature in Christ Jesus, as well as in all the other series, which is that only the Lord Jesus Christ can enlighten the eyes of Christians' understanding about the riches of God's glory, and that only in Christ can Christians have access to this provision according to the measure that God has prepared beforehand for them. The mystery of God, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, lies in the simplicity that the Christian is called to live the Christian life in and through the one who opened the way for this newness of life, namely, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is from life in Christ that all other necessary convictions and provisions of a Christian are provided. John 11:27. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." 2 Timothy 1:12. "For this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." John 20:30-31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. 1 John 5:10-13. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Finally, since the objective of this theme is to present a particular emphasis on the need to move from information to conviction, we will not repeat more aspects here about what has already been exposed about life in Christ in other materials. Remembering here only that being, living, and walking in Christ is a subject that has also been widely addressed in other themes of the systemic teaching about Christian life, such as the letter or life, knowing about God or knowing God, the core principle of life for a Christian, and, mainly, the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ and the series Walking in Newness of Life.